Hey, everybody. If you heard the show last week, you know we had Will Ralston on. He's a sound mixer and editor, and he's worked a lot with David Simon. He worked on The Wire, Tremé, The Deuce, just some teeny, teeny, tiny little shows.
Just a few. Just about 120 hours of television.
And you know that you have really built some trust during an interview when it ends like this.
Don't make me sound too stupid.
Are you kidding?
I know you have the ability with dialogue editing to make people sound stupid.
Oh, man. Now I actually hadn't thought about this, but like the pressure's on now.
Don't f this up, Laura.
For the record, Will sounded great, and we didn't f it up at all. In fact, it was so not f up that there's even more that I want you to hear. So while I was talking to Will, he mentioned this secret background sound Easter egg in David Simon shows. And you can first hear it in episode 2 of The Wire. In the scene, there are three cops, they're working on this drug case, and they show up late at night to these apartment buildings.
The cops go to the high rises because they want to hassle the drug dealers. And Presbuleski is sort of a hothead, and he catches this guy walking in the courtyard.
Hey, yo, come here, man. Come here, where you going? But don't act like you don't know me.
Drop that. And he grabs his laundry basket and he throws all the laundry everywhere because he thinks there's going to be drugs in there, and there isn't.
You got a needle on you? Got anything in here that's going to stick me?
And the Loop Group actor was this guy. His name is Scoogey. He did the voice for the guy whose laundry was getting torn away from him. And when that happens, like, he just said, hey, man, that's my laundry.
It's my drop laundry. That here.
And he just says it like in this really funny way that we just, like, everybody thought it was great.
Drop it there.
And I think I've even snuck it into some other things, to be honest.
Drop it there.
Just kind of buried really deep, sort of like my own little Wilhelm scream.
A Wilhelm scream. So this is like one of those moments in conversation where you're like, I know that's a reference to something, but I don't know exactly to what. And then the moment passes and then you Google it later, so that at least you'll get it the next time. And when we did this, when we looked into the Wilhelm scream, we were like, oh man, this is fascinating, and it should be a whole episode. And then we found out, in fact, it already was a whole episode of a whole other podcast. Our friends at the show 20,000 Hertz already made this show, and I'm really excited to share it with you guys. If you like ELT, I feel like you'll also dig 20,000 Hertz. It's all about the hidden sounds all around us. Host Dallas Taylor is going to take it away.
This is the story of the Wilhelm scream.
Ah! 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 Knights of Columbus, that are...
The two screams you just heard were from Will Ferrell in Anchorman and Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker in The Empire Strikes Back. Movie screams seem like easy work, but they're not. That's why some of the best are so iconic. You've got scary ones, like Captain Quint from Jaws. Janet Leigh from Psycho. And the original Scream Queen, Faye Ray, from King Kong way back in 1933. Then you've got non-horror screams, like Kevin from Home Alone, feeling the burn of aftershave.
I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
And Marv the Burglar from the same film when Kevin puts a tarantula on his face.
Harry, help me, get up!
But the most famous scream is one you've heard, but maybe never heard of. The Wilhelm scream.
Hi, I'm Steve Lee. I'm a sound effects wrangler, a film historian, and I'm forming the Hollywood Sound Museum. It's interesting how Wilhelm has sort of become this sort of, you know, go-to sound effect that sort of represents a lot more than just the one sound. It's fascinating how many of these sounds are actually reused over and over and over.
You may be thinking, what's the Wilhelm scream? If you think you've never heard it, it's been used in movies such as Batman, Star Wars, Toy Story, Lord of the Rings, Tropic Thunder, Beauty and the Beast, Team America, Spaceballs, Jurassic World, 300, Cars, Indiana Jones, and hundreds of other films. This barely scratches the surface.
When I was a kid growing up, I went to Disneyland. I lived in LA, and I went to Disneyland, and I watched movies, and I recorded movies off the TV, and, you know, studied the soundtrack, and I started to hear sound effects over and over. Wilhelm was one of them, but there were many other too. There was a dog bark that is in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disneyland. And I remember hearing it again in Mary Poppins when I was watching that on TV once. And I'm going, somebody must reuse these sound effects. And that sort of was a very early realization. And that sort of led the way for my, you know, research and fascination with how these sounds are collected and reused and cataloged.
The Wilhelm scream has been used in tons of movies, but where did it come from? What movie was it first heard in?
We've done some sort of backtracking, most of this done by Ben Burtt himself, who is the Star Wars sound effects designer, who started using this as sort of a personal sound signature. The name actually comes from what is probably the second film it was used in, which was Charge at Feather River, which was 1953 at Warner Brothers. Poor Private Wilhelm is at the end of this party going by on horses. And the leader yells back to him to, you know, pick up your pace. And he says, oh, I'm just filling my pipe. But in that moment, he gets an arrow in the leg and lets out the scream.
Wilhelm!
Yeah, I'll just fill my pipe.
They must have liked the Wilhelm scream a lot because they ended up using it two more times in the film. Once when a soldier is killed, and another for an American Indian warrior in battle. The Charge at Feather River was the film that gave Wilhelm its name, but it was the second film it was used in. What was the first?
It started at Warner Brothers. The first film it was in was a Western called Distant Drums, a Gary Cooper Western.
Distant Drums was released 2 years before The Charge at Feather River in 1951.
And it had a scene where a man is walking across the Florida Everglades with other soldiers, and he's bitten and dragged underwater by an alligator. And they needed a scream for that. Ben found a memo in the Warner Brothers archives that said that several people came in to do sort of post vocals for the film, and we're pretty sure that the scream was recorded in that session. And one of the gentlemen on the list of people was a guy named Sheb Woolley, who is most famous for his pop song, Purple People Eater.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
But he was a character actor, and he was in a lot of these old westerns.
Sure looks strange to me.
We're pretty sure that he is responsible for the scream. And many years later, I was able to put Ben Burtt in touch with Sheb's widow. And she was delighted. And she actually remembered that Sheb used to talk about going in to do sessions like that and screams and things like that. So we're like 99% sure it's Sheb Woolley.
Sheb Woolley sounds like a fascinating guy. A singer, an on-screen actor, and a voice actor. How was the Wilhelm scream actually captured on tape? Well, thanks to Steve, we've acquired the full-length original recording of the session. It was recorded from a Warner Brothers soundstage in 1951 on the set of Distant Drums. Remember, Shep is not actually in a river surrounded by alligators. He's trying to create the sound of tremendous pain, agony, and fear from the safe surroundings of a film lot. Steve Lee will talk us through this.
The session starts out. You hear several people on a stage. We believe it was actually recorded on a filming soundstage and not a recording stage because you hear several people milling about. And then you hear someone slate through and he says,
"Man getting bit by an alligator," and he screams.
And you hear a director like shutting everyone up. And then he tells the guy, "Okay." And he asks for the first scream.
Okay, right?
And it's pretty good. It's like a quick scream. He does another one. And then he asks for a little direction.
"The first one you did up here was much better."
You know, I shared the frustration with the director. It's like, "No, that's not what I want. I want a real scream." And he's getting closer, but it's still not quite. And then the director gives him something that motivates him to do the classic scream that we all recognize.
"No, not an owl. A real scream of pain."
And then the next two are very similar to that. We've actually used these, all three of these last ones, as sort of the official Wilhelm.
So how did this cheesy scream become every filmmaker's favorite inside joke? We'll find out after the break. We're back with Dallas Taylor and the story of the Wilhelm scream.
We're now pretty sure that Sheb Woolley was the voice behind the Wilhelm scream and know how it was recorded. But how did it spread like wildfire and become the most iconic movie scream in history?
Ben Burtt went to college with two guys, Rick Mitchell and Richard Anderson. Richard and Ben won an Oscar for Raiders of the Lost Ark for sound effects.
Yep, that's our old friend Wilhelm in Raiders.
They were sort of doing this as a little joke in film school at USC, using this scream that they remembered from all these old westerns, and they started using it in their short films at USC, and when they went pro, they started sneaking it into the films that they did for real feature films.
For decades, this was a below-the-radar thing that only sound designers knew about. Maybe someone in the industry who used the Wilhelm scream themselves might recognize it in another film, but it wasn't really a thing.
Warner Brothers used it quite a bit. I mean, it was in their library, and sound editors could just pull it and use it. And up until the early 70s, it was still getting used out of Warner Brothers exclusively. And Ben tracked it down when he was doing research for Star Wars. He said, "Oh, I got to use this. This is a favorite of mine." He tracked down the master and he started using it in all the Star Wars films, all the Indiana Jones films. And that's when I started to really take notice and started maintaining a list of all, as best I could. I mean, there are hundreds of films.
And like many things, when the internet came along, everything changed.
I started sort of pushing Wilhelm, and we used it in quite a few films. And I think I sort of overdid it because it really got noticed by a lot of people. And then when I published the list online on a movie history website I run, I published this list and sort of the definitive history of Wilhelm. And that's pretty much when the dam broke.
Ben Burtt started this, and Steve kind of took the baton and ran with it. I asked Steve, what are some of the best uses of the Wilhelm scream, or at least the most memorable?
He was just doing it as a little in-joke, and then I sort of pushed the envelope a little in the late 80s and early 90s. We used it in everything. I even got it in a Goofy movie. I was the sound designer of a Goofy movie, and it has absolutely no business being in a Goofy movie.
"Roxanne, please don't forget me. Though I may be in traction when I do."
While Ben introduced the Wilhelm scream to guys like George Lucas, it sounds like Steve has done his fair share. I wondered if there's a good story about any directors he brought into the Wilhelm Club.
We were very lucky at our sound shop. We worked with a lot of directors over and over who kept coming back, and some first-timers that went on to be really great and do some amazing things. One of them is a guy I'm sure you've heard of named Quentin Tarantino. We did his first film, Reservoir Dogs, and there are a couple Wilhelms in that one.
How did you get out?
I shot my way out. Everybody started shooting, so I blasted my way out of there.
Move it! Get away!
And I will never forget, we cut it in, and then when we were dubbing the film, we pointed it out to him and told him the history. We schooled him on it. And he loved it. Quentin's a huge movie fan and just eats that stuff up. And I had a little tiny black and white TV in my office, and I turned it on, and lo and behold, Distant Drums is on the Saturday afternoon film. So I ducked my head into the dub stage and said, "Hey guys, you remember I told you about that scream? Well, the movie's on right now that it was recorded." And Quentin went nuts. "Oh my God, really? Really? Do you know when it's coming up? Can you tell us when it's coming up?" And I could probably give you like 5 minutes notice. "Okay, do that and we'll take a break." And sure enough, I did. And I called him in, and it was like 10 guys in my little office. And as soon as it came on, Quentin was screaming, "That's in my movie!"
That's pretty good. It's got to be hard to top Quentin Tarantino.
Peter Jackson was another one. When it was in The Two Towers, he apparently told the mixers to turn it up, make it louder.
Like many movie styles or special effects, they eventually fade out. Has interest in using the Wilhelm scream started to die down?
It's still used all the time. It's in commercials. I'll turn on the TV and I'll hear it in an Exxon commercial or something. It's pretty crazy. You know, kids coming out of film school are eager to use it too. And there's a scene in the Judy Garland Star is Born where it's actually completely in the clear and you can notch out the classic take number 4 Wilhelm. And people are stealing it out of that to use in their student films and things like that. It's pretty crazy.
So why does the movie industry continue to use the Wilhelm scream? Is it cliche or cachet? Maybe it's a connector, a through line, a way to be a link in the chain of movie history from 1951 to today, to share a common bond with directors like George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, Peter Jackson, and Quentin Tarantino.
A week does not go by where I don't get an email or a message from someone saying, "I heard it in such and such. Hey, we're on a dub stage in Australia putting it in some little movie," or, you know, "Hey, it's going to be in a Twix commercial. It's going to start airing in December," you know, that kind of thing. Ben accused me of starting a cult, and I'd have to agree with him. It's sort of a way of communicating with others in our craft. It's like a way of saying hi. One of my dear friends, another Oscar winner, Dave Stone, he equated it to dogs on a fire hydrant, and other dogs would come by and, "Oh yeah, Sam's been here." We put it in there to see if others of our kind get noticed. And I for sure, if I hear it in a movie that I wasn't aware it was in, I'll wait and look at the credits more closely and say, "Oh yeah, so-and-so did this. Yeah, that dirty dog, he snuck it in."
"20,000 Hertz" is presented by DeFacto Sound, a sound team dedicated to making the world sound better. Whether it's a commercial, television show, web video, trailer, video game, documentary, VR, or even physical products, DeFacto makes it sound insanely cool. Get in touch at DeFactoSound.com.
This episode was produced and edited by Kevin Eds.
And me, Dallas Taylor.
With help from Sam Sneebly.
It was sound designed and mixed by Nick Spradlin.
Huge thanks to film historian and sound effects archivist Steve Lee, who's heading up the Hollywood Sound Museum project. The museum will be a destination for fans, students, scholars, and professionals, where you'll be able to discover the art of creating sound for film, television, and other media through exhibits and educational programs. Please help get this great cause off the ground by visiting hollywoodsoundmuseum.org. let's locate and preserve the rich history of sound design in Hollywood to share with future generations. Again, visit hollywoodsoundmuseum.org.
You can check out more of 20,000 Hertz at 20k.org. And you know what? I kind of like this idea of a Wilhelm scream, like a secret little audio cue that you could listen for. Maybe we should do one.
Oh!
Something to think about.